This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah, nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send our love, greetings, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen, ameen, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are on the cusp of Ramadan. And as I mentioned that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give a sermon to the Sahaba at the advent of Ramadan. The Sahaba already performing the best of people. And he's reminding them that, Ya Abu Bakr, Ya Umar radiallahu anh, you need to take it to the next level now. Because upon you is a blessed month, where Jannah is open. Whoever wants Jannah, now is the time to get Jannah. Whoever wants your sins forgiven, now is the time to get your sins forgiven. That there is a night coming up in the next couple of weeks, better than 1,000 months. Whoever gets that night will have all their sins forgiven and have a lifetime of good deeds. And it is accessible not just to the Sahaba, not just to the awliya or the ulama, it is accessible to every single person. Allah doesn't look at the quantity, He looks at the quality. Someone that before Ramadan, they were not performing their salah, but during Ramadan, they make an effort to perform their waqts on time, is so much better, has improved so much, versus the person making tahajjud every night. And so no matter where you begin, where you are now, Ramadan is available to all of us. Ameen. We said that, alhamdulillah, to achieve this, it's not easy. Allah has made it easy, but it's not going to be without effort. And the work needs to begin a little bit before Ramadan. We spoke about affirming our niyyah, not just the niyyah to fast, but the niyyah to let this be the perfect and the best Ramadan, to make that extra effort in terms of ibadah. We also said last week about sin that we need to try and avoid, financial sins. Shaitan is about to be locked up, but he will make sure that he has certain things in place that will keep the work going. You know, he's going to make sure that there are things that you're doing that spoils your Ramadan, arguing with people. We're going to have moon fighting again. Don't get involved in any moon fighting, please. Don't get involved in any moon fighting. Don't get involved with this fitra and fidya fighting. Don't get involved in any of those things. Don't get involved with this khilaf and that 8 rak'ahs, 20 rak'ahs, subhanAllah. Just make salah. Just make salah. And as we said, be very cautious about the money. Make sure that you have paid your zakah. If there's any zakah owing, if there's any riba, get rid of this riba now. If there's any haram income, get rid of it. If there's any person that can point the finger, that man stole my haq, he owes me for a job I did, make sure you settle it. Wallahi, 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand, 10,000 rand is not worth Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is so much more valuable than that. So set right those things. Then we spoke a little bit about the fiqh of fasting. And we said fasting is of the easiest in terms of how to fast, but just a reminder that everyone that is Muslim and is mukallaf must fast. If you're not yet mukallaf, we maybe say half day for you, but everyone should be fasting. Except two types of people. There are those people who have a permanent excuse, they will never ever be able to fast. And may Allah grant that, grant them shifa'ah. And subhanAllah, it's so beautiful to find a person when they reach that level, even though Allah has given them the chance of fidya, they're not happy. Wallahi, they're not happy. No one takes that fidya with joy. He says, I want to puasa. How can I not fast? We say, granny, you must eat. It is now haram for you to fast. It will damage you. Alhamdulillah, that iman is there. And so, for those people who are too sick, they have a type of diabetes where they have to eat regularly. They are on some treatment that they will never get cured. May Allah grant them shifa. They pay a fidya. A fidya, what is a fidya? A fidya is a penalty where you feed one person for every day that you miss, one meal. And we saw the, you know, messages coming out. Different madhabs have different amounts of fidya. Why is this? This goes back to the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They didn't have kilograms. So, how much is a meal? They said, is it a happy meal? Is it a Big Mac meal? Three twice, two, three, we don't know. And so, it was a mud or a sa' was what you took with your hand, basically. Now, one person's hand is bigger than the other. And so, the madhabs differed in their calculation. Is it 3 kilos of rice, 3 kilos of wheat? Difference. And so you'll find a range, a lower range and an upper range. Insha'Allah, stick to your madhab or stick to your ulama, or if you want to be have that, if you're able to afford, it's between 9 rand and 28 rand. So subhanAllah, it's not a lot. Choose the higher end and you pay that fidya. You can pay the fidya at the beginning of the month. So if you have a granny who's not fasting, say look, 30 days, times 27, we pay all of that fidya. Ideally, we said, it is good to feed someone, to actually go and send the food to somebody. If not, then give it to a masjid or sanzaf, put there even burano, say fidya, and we will make sure, because you cannot give money to the recipient. You cannot give money to the recipient. You must give food to the recipient. And so, inshallah, that must be done. Then we said, what is more relevant to all of us here is a temporary excuse. If you are too sick to fast, you make the day up. If you are traveling, we spoke about that, you choose what is more convenient, and you make the day up. We ended off with menstruation, pregnancy, breastfeeding, nifas. Okay, menstruation is easy. If the sister is menstruating, obviously she does not fast, she does not make salah. She has to make up the fasting, but not the salah. And can she recite Quran during her menstruation? Yes, she can. She can still make dua. She can do everything. Unfortunately, she does not fast now, but she fasts after Ramadan. And in many ways, it's more difficult. We all know that. It is more difficult to make up a day after Ramadan when everyone is partying, and then they need to make up the day. But this is a higher level of taqwa required of them. So alhamdulillah, it is how Allah had deemed it for our sisters. As for pregnancy and breastfeeding, the ulama have mentioned here that obviously if the lady fasts, it's going to harm the baby. It might harm the baby, most likely, at a certain point in her pregnancy, it's not advisable for her to fast. Similarly, if she's breastfeeding, she can fast, but the milk might run up and it might be harmful for the baby. And so she has been given the same excuse, like the sick person, that they have a temporary excuse not to fast. Now, I pause here because I got tons and tons of questions of ladies who want to know about this. Now, wallahi, this is like the jihad for the ladies. The jihad for the lady, 1 year she's pregnant, so she can't, the whole Ramadan, 2015, no fasting. Then 2016, 2017, she's breastfeeding for 2 years, so 3 years of no fasting. Then 2018, mashallah, the second child. Now another 2 years, so it's gone like 4 or 5 years, no fasting. And you add up times 30, now you have like 200 or 300 days of skilt. So now many of the sisters ask, can I not just pay a fidya? I pay 30 rand for every day, 30 times 300, and you know what, 9,000 rand I think, my math's correct, then I'm alright, alhamdulillah, then I'm done, right, with my fidya. I'll rather do that than fast 300 days like a year. Every single madhab agrees that the lady must make up those days. She needs to fast those 300 days in. The only debate is that she still pay a fidya on top of it. She still has to pay a fidya plus make the day in. Why a fidya? Because as we mentioned last week, if the days that you owe goes beyond 1 year, you had days owing from 2021, you had the whole year to fast your 3-4 days, and now it's already 2022. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no hadith about this, but many scholars have said, because you went beyond the limit, pay a fidya and make the day in. Now many of the sisters, as we said, it's very difficult to have this mountain of skilt on your head. And the Sharia allows you to fast it whichever day is easiest for you. Maybe once a week you take a day. Maybe wait for the winter. Inshallah, the husband is half to be blamed for the situation. He should be fasting with you. So I know it's perhaps the way best that he takes half the skilt. But unfortunately, this is one of those rulings which certain rules is difficult for the men. You pay a dowry, you must pay the nafaqah. This is one of the rulings that maybe is a bit difficult for our sisters, but lillahi alhamd, this is Allah's decree. So yes, sisters, undoubtedly, you must fast those days in. By unanimous consent of all the madhabs, the only debate is whether you still pay a fidya on top of it. Hanafi madhab says no, the other madhab says yes, and Allah knows best. Obviously, safest to pay a fidya as well, if you can. Right. Now we speak about what nullifies the fasting. This is always the contentious issue. What breaks my fast? That during fasting, there's a list of things that break your fast. You cannot eat, you cannot drink, you cannot have sexual contact, you cannot vomit deliberately. But all those things must be done with intention, with knowledge, with desire to break your fast. So let me give you an example. We know passing wind breaks your wudu. Yes? If you pass wind by accident, is your wudu broken? If you pass wind by accident, is your wudu still fine or is it broken? Broken. Sharia doesn't worry if you did it deliberately or you said, you know, you told someone, just wait, and you let one rip, you know, deliberately. Either way, your wudu is broken. So, for certain deeds, like wudu or ihram, it doesn't matter if you did it deliberately or you did it accidentally. It nullifies the wudu. Fasting is different. If you ate by accident, you ate without knowing, your fasting is not broken. So if you did any of the things which break your fast by accident, unintentionally, you were forced to do it, whatever it is, then your fasting is not broken. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made it that this list of things that nullifies your fast must be done with the intention, with the knowledge it breaks my fast, and to break your fast. So many of us, subhanAllah, the first couple of days, we tend to eat or drink by mistake because we're not used to the fasting. Alhamdulillah, as we know the hadith, the Nabi says, Allah wrote that for you. Allah wrote that for you. Someone says, what if I even, you know, subhanAllah, slept with my wife by mistake? If it was genuinely by mistake, Alhamdulillah, Allah wrote that for you. You continue fasting. You continue fasting. Okay? So, eating and drinking, and anything equivalent to eating and drinking. So, if you have a drip that nourishes your body, you have some injection that gives you nourishment, this will also break your fast. So avoid, and to be safe, avoid anything that passes through the mouth and the nose. The mouth and the nose takes a similar ruling in the Sharia. And that is why when you take wudu in Ramadan, you don't goggle and you don't sniff the water all the way to the back. So anything that, any medication that goes through the mouth, through the nose, avoid it if you can. Any pump or spray, avoid it if you can. Okay? Yes, it becomes more and more technical if it's a gas and all that. Well, let's not go down that road. But the mouth and the nose is deemed to be consumption. And any drip as well. If you vomit deliberately, you force yourself to vomit, this will break your fast. But if you vomit by accident, you know, inshallah, that does not break your fast. Cupping is a very controversial one for our purposes. Do not donate blood or have blood extracted unnecessarily. If you need to have it, halas, no problem. You need to go to the doctor. But in Ramadan, you should not. Cupping is where blood is extracted for medical reasons. If you do not need to do it, it's not an emergency, it's not a necessity, avoid having blood taken from you during the month while you are fasting. It's obviously in the day. In the night, you can do all these things. Then, of course, menstruation will break your fast. Deliberate ejaculation. Right, so if someone looks at some things, touches some parts, stimulates some organs, and they ejaculate, obviously it breaks the fast. But if you ejaculate by accident, you were sleeping during the day and you woke up, you had a wet dream, alhamdulillah, your fasting is fine. People always struggle with this. Tahara and fasting are two different things. You need to be in the state of wudu to make salah. You do not need to be in the state of wudu to fast. So someone says, I woke up in the morning, I'm junub, I had a wet dream, or I was with my wife, alhamdulillah. Now it's 5-10 minutes before Fajr. Do I sawa or do I ghusl? We say sawa. Because even if the waqt comes in, your fasting is fine. To be junub and fasting is fine. You just need to shower for Fajr. You just need to make sure that for Fajr, that you are in the state of tahara. And of course, the worst thing you can do during the day in Ramadan is sexual intercourse. This is the worst thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you might have not heard before or that you were scared as a child. What happens if you deliberately break your fast during the day? What is the penalty? What's the kafara? Well, by unanimous consent of all the madhabs, if you deliberately ate during one day in Ramadan, it's a major sin. You need to make tawbah. Even if you fast for the rest of your life, you will not get the reward that you lost from that one day. But as a penalty, what are we going to do? We're not going to lash you. We're not going to chop off anything. You have to fast one day to Allah. You owe Allah one day of skilt. The only time you need to fast 60 days is if you have intercourse in the day of Ramadan. It's a difference. Now I know when you grew up, the Muallima said, if you eat akhtari bak, 60 days you must fast. That's not correct. It's only if you have intercourse. Now subhanAllah, this isn't a green light to, alhamdulillah, I can just make up the day after. As I said, it's a major sin. It's a major sin. Not only the reward that you will never ever get, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His, but even you're playing with a pillar of Islam. Remember, if our salah is deficient, our skilt and sisters, for those sisters who have a lot of days owing, remember, one of the big questions are going to be the pillars. If any of the pillars are deficient, your Islam is in question. You need to make sure my fasting, my zakah, my one hajj, my salah is up to date. Ya Allah, I don't know about tahajjud and all those things. But this I can say, these five pillars are intact, then you are guaranteed, inshallah, access to Jannah. Then there's nothing that can stop you, by idhnillah, going to Jannah. So that is why we take this very, very serious, because this affirms our position as a Muslim. Now, alhamdulillah, this is the basics of fasting, and I'm sure many people will ask me a lot of questions. What about eardrops, eye drops, nose sprays, all those things? There's always going to be differences of opinion. these contemporary medical issues, is insulin, does it break your fast or not? The safest thing is, as I said, avoid all of the stuff and then you're safe. If it cannot be avoided, let's say you're on some medication where it cannot be avoided. If it's through the mouth and the nose, very dangerous. Technically through the ears and the eyes, doesn't count as eating. You know, if someone throws alcohol in your ear, you don't get lashed for drinking khamar. Even though you can taste it maybe, even though you can taste the eye drop, it doesn't break your fast. Inshallah, that is negligible. It's unintentional. Like you're breathing oxygen all the time, you can't help it. This is okay. But if you can avoid it, avoid it. And if you do, if you can't avoid it, then take it, the medication, and continue fasting if there's a view that it doesn't break your fast. And then still at the end, if you really want to be safe, you make up the day. But still continue fasting for the day, bi'idhnillah. Then take the opinion that says it doesn't break my fast, and continue fasting during the day, bi'idhnillah. Inshallah, I don't know if there's any questions specific to fasting. It's permissible, we're not yet in Jumu'ah in terms of... Is there any question on fasting? Yes? Yeah, so donating blood is permissible, but don't donate blood in Ramadan, or in the day in Ramadan. Donate it in the evening. In the evening. The rule of the cupping, and Allah knows best, that the Prophet says, whoever donates has blood removed, and the one who takes blood, now cupping, that's, I don't know, the doctor, subhanAllah, that's a different mas'ala for them. Whoever has blood extracted, their fasting is invalid. So do not go and donate blood now. Donate after Ramadan or in the evenings. Any other questions in terms of fasting? Yes? So the brother is asking, after Ramadan, and not only the female, for all of us, we might all have days that we owe. So, do we fast? Now we know there's a great reward to fast the 6 days of Shawwal with Ramadan. What's the reward? Then Nabi says, whoever fasts Ramadan and 6 days of Shawwal, it is like Allah wrote the entire year for you. Now, Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah, it will be so beautiful to stand before Allah. And Allah says, this is Ahmad, he lived for 60 years, he has 60 years of fasting on his name. And he only fasted what? The few Ramadans that he could, and 6 days of Shawwal. Right, so Alhamdulillah is a great reward we should all do. The only issue is the 6 days of Shawwal, and we might discuss this after Ramadan. The Nabi says, whoever completes Ramadan, and then adds six on top of it, then he gets the reward. So, the scholars have differed. Do I first have to finish my skilt, and then do my six? Can I join them? I have 5 days owing. Can I do the five and the six together? It's a mas'ala of khilaf. For example, the safest, like the Hanbali opinion is, you first do your sculpt, and then you do your six on top of it. Because of the nature of the hadith, the wording. Whoever completes Ramadan with six more. Others have said, no problem. Like you join a sunnah and fard, why not join them? This is, if you can, do both, do them separately. But if it's too much, then, you know, combine them, inshallah. Last question before we conclude. The Adhan time. Sorry? The Adhan for Jumu'ah. Inshallah, when we're done here, the Adhan will go. The Waqt of Jumu'ah is in... The Waqt for Jumu'ah. The Waqt for Jumu'ah is... Alright, so vaccinations. We're getting into a dangerous area now, subhanAllah. Whether a vaccine is halal or haram, it's a different mas'ala. Right? We assume any injection. Any injection. Right? Let's talk about any injection. A vitamin injection and all that. If the injection... Firstly, if you can avoid the injection, avoid it. If you can avoid it, avoid it. Okay? Or take it after Maghrib. Whether it's insulin, whether it's anesthetic, whatever it is. But if you must take it during the day, then if it's a nourishing vaccine, or an injection that gives you nourishment, then this thing will definitely break your fast. As for any other type of, you know, as I said, if it goes into the muscle only and not into the digestive system, and the doctors are here, they can tell us more. Certain injections don't enter the bloodstream. It doesn't enter your digestive system. So it's just there in the muscle. Like when the dentist put something, you know, I just had dental work yesterday, alhamdulillah. It doesn't go into your bloodstream as far as I know. This wouldn't technically break your fast. So I can't say which injections your doctor will tell you. At best, go to a Muslim doctor to explain to you about this. Just on the issue of Adhan, you would find that in the Hanafi Madhab, the Adhan, you'll find on the calendars, now this is not so problematic here in Cape Town, the Adhan is different, you know. They'll say you must, Fajr is 6:30, but you must fast from 6 o'clock. Why? What's going on here? Why do the Hanafis have some, the Hanafi Madhab, view the afdal, the best time to perform Fajr, a little late into the waqt comes in at 6, but the Jama'ah makes salah at 6:30. That's the Hanafi view, that there's a little bit of light in the sky, and then they make, but the Fajr's waqt came in at 6 o'clock. And so you need to start, obviously, when the waqt comes in, to fast. Alhamdulillah, in the Shafi'i madhab, or the majority of the scholars said, the best waqt is to make it immediately. And so when the waqt comes in, we make salah and fast together. And alhamdulillah, we have no dispute about that. Bidnillah, inshallah, we're going to conclude now. Our brother, Buta Ismail, rahimullah, passed away. One of the murids of this masjid, and his janazah will be at Masjid Shafi. So we're going to try and be done by 5:30, and that we can all go to the janazah. Salam. Allah grant him a high place in Jannah. And all those who have passed away, those who can't be with, subhanAllah, Ramadan, there will become a time when they will say, Buta Muhammad, Buta Aunty Fatima, not here this Ramadan. May Allah grant them the full reward of what their lives, and may Allah bless them and give them the barakah and the rahmah of Ramadan. Ameen, and for all of us, ameen. Just a quick announcement. So Ramadan, inshaAllah, they're going to look for the moon tonight. They're going to fight over the moon tonight, inshaAllah. The moon wars begin tonight. Allah grant us safety. Most likely, Tarawih is going to be next tomorrow night. Most likely. But don't be surprised if, alhamdulillah, someone sees the moon. And we might have first Tarawih tonight and fasting tomorrow. We will, of course, have Tarawih here in Masjid Buran after Isha. 8 raka'as. If you want more, alhamdulillah, we can discuss all that. What is best? What's best is as much time on the musalla. So if you make 8 with us, and then you make 10 at home, and alhamdulillah, so long as you spend more time on the musalla, 8 raka'as, yakut to juz, other masjids have longer, whichever is easiest for you, alhamdulillah. We also like to thank all of you who attended the stalls and supported Buran al-Islam. Obviously, all of this goes for the upliftment of the masjid and our soup kitchen, our newsletter with all our details, who the khufad are, and more about this. You know, if you want to be part of our feeding scheme in particular during Ramadan, please, take access to our newsletter. Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi islamu al-saneen. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.